Jesus comforts his apostles. He announces his coming for them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
I've heard it said that people would like to have been back with Christ when he walked the earth, to be with the disciples. If I was able to do that, they might say, I would maybe have more faith. I would believe easier, or I would see clearly what he's trying to say. After reading that and listening to that, does that sound like something that you would clearly understand? Because when it was all said and done, they were just as confused as ever. What is Jesus trying to accomplish? What is he trying to do here in John 14? Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Prayer request, we have the kids can go.
One answered.
Hey, what? Have a seat. Yeah. Okay, good. I like that. It was just getting lazy for Thanksgiving practice. Sit down. Hey, is Randy okay? You know him?
Yeah, he's having a little bit of trouble from last night.
He's in a little trouble from last. Do we need to call John and get some parole or something? I don't know. Okay. This is an old song as far as our age is concerned. It's been around for quite some time. I love the words to it, and so I kind of grabbed it and said, this is going to be appropriate. Or exclusive, physical. Because how many here have ever prayed for a physical healing when you were sick? Okay, put your hand way up in the air. Now, you know, looking at that, look at those legs. Everybody's done it. It's a universal kind of a thing. But if you got to remember that when Jesus does something, he does it instantaneously in the healing area. How many of you have ever been instantaneously healed of a sickness or an illness? Whoa. Isn't that interesting? A lot of hands went up, but no hands went up for getting it. Is there a problem? Is there something wrong? See, I noted this years and years ago because I took that verse very, very seriously, and I listened to the explanation of it, and I got to thinking about some crazy stuff. And how many of you ever heard about this believing business where if you have enough faith, you can ask for anything and it will be given to you? How many have ever heard that? As a matter of fact, everybody should have their hand up because why? Jason just read it. He just read it. And who said it?
Jesus.
So no, wait a second. I asked how many of you prayed and a bunch of hands went up when you were sick. How many of you got it? No hands went up. So something is amiss or Jesus is a liar. How many here think Jesus is a liar? It was just a check. I didn't expect any hands to go up. But the idea that we are going to be measuring faith, our faith, in order to get something kind of intrigued me. Now, this is interesting. I needed a bag to put some stuff in because my electrical tester died after 22 years. And so I needed to get a new one. So I got a new one. It's a little more compact. But I needed something to put all the stuff in because there was more than one part. So my wife handed me this bag.
It's so manly.
I said, it's so manly. I said, this is what you got for me? She goes, yeah. So it's nice that you said that. It's awesome because I ended up taking a marker and I wrote, what's it say?
Manly.
Real loud.
Casey's Manly Electrical.
Casey's Manly Electrical Testers. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that once and for all was very clear. Yeah, this is not a girly bag.
That's your feminine side, Casey.
Yeah. Now here's an electrical tester. How many know how to use one of these things? Yeah, okay, see, that's perfect. I guess I'll have to call you when I need this used. I used to always have fun just putting on ohms, testing ohms, and then zapping the kids, you know, just hitting the kids to see how many ohms and resistance they have, right? Could you imagine this? You have a child who is sick, possibly dying. And you pray with all sincerity, every possible way you know, and you probably make up some ideas on your own just to clear the slate. I've confessed all my sins. I've apologized. I made a whole lot of promises to turn things around and change the way I live my life. If only, God, you will grant me this one request. Have you been there? I don't need to see hands because I believe many of you have, if not all. But the theory of belief goes like this. God reaches down and he says, for that healing of that child, you are going to need to have 8.7 faith. Let's see what you got. 2, 3, 4, 5. It looks like a good prospect. Oh, hey, they're believing real, real. Look at that. 7. 8. 8.1.1. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't make it. Do you see the ridiculousness of that? How cruel that would be. If you have enough and God measures it, and at that point you get there and you find out, oh no, what could I have done to in order to receive that? What I want to talk to you today is about something that's really, really critical that Jesus exemplified here in John. Now, anytime you have a story, there are points to a story if you're going to write a good one and you want to be a bestseller. How many of those people we have? How many best-selling authors do we have in here? Well, by the time we're done with this, you might end up becoming one, because I'm going to tell you how to write a fictional story, okay? The first thing you need to do is you need to have a plot. Okay, the expositional place basically places the setting and tells you what's going on, who the characters are, what they're going to be seeing. Okay, so you're setting up the setting. That's pretty much it. The next thing that you start to see in writing a story, you start seeing rising action as events take place that show that we got a problem. You have to have a problem. And you have to have a protagonist, somebody who's actually the troublemaker, or in a situation that is the troublemaker. It's kind of like we're going along and, uh-oh, we got a problem. And we say, we can live with that. And so we go on a little further and go, oh no, this is really a big, big problem. Will we ever make it? Yeah, we kind of did. And then finally get to the point where, oh no, this is catastrophic. And we'll never, ever see the end. And at that point, that's when you reach the climax, where the hero comes in and saves the day. And there's some other parts to the story, but I want to just take this and put it into the truth part, or the nonfiction of what John is trying to do. Your assignment this week for the next 6 days, and you get a day off today, is for you to take John and read tomorrow chapter 12, then chapter 13, then 14, then 15, then 16 and 17. For the next 6 days, just start at chapter 12 and move on. We're going to see Jesus as he is going to go through his life and his ministry here on earth and find the reason why he came here. Because if we can find the reason why he came, it might help in our lives while we are still trying to believe in him, right? What am I doing here? How am I doing it? And can I actually measure that in my own life to determine if I am doing the exact right thing that God would have for me? Does that make sense? If you remember, you go back, the chapter 12 basically starts right around the point time where there's going to be the what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. Jesus goes into Jerusalem, prophetically speaking. There's a point where the prophets had said that this was going to take place. Jesus comes in. He's been doing this healing ministry. He's been telling everybody who he was. They weren't listening. He's got everybody riled up. He goes into Jerusalem and presents himself and the king as the king and gets himself rejected. Later on, as he goes through, he starts seeing some problems where he is confessing to his disciples that he is going to be actually arrested and crucified. And then he finds himself alone with his disciples, and he is telling him in John like 14 what is really going to be happening. That's the scenario. As I was thinking about Flap the other day, and I was thinking about how often we pray for physical healing. We want to feel better. It just kind of hit me that God really wants us to go beyond that point. And every one of us get his point. I don't know if I can share that even better, but think of it like this. How many of you are sick right here, right now? Scared to raise your hand, aren't you? What's that?
Maybe a little ahead.
Maybe a little ahead. How many of you are afflicted? You can go get that guy. Why don't you go out there, Howie, and or one of you guys, ask him. Go ahead. Oh, maybe is that your guy with a boat? Go see him. Yeah, that's James' boat out there. Everybody asks James, if you ever want to buy a boat, then James is the guy. Okay, he's. Only at the Congregational Church. Yeah. Maybe he'll come and listen to the sermon. Then he'll buy the boat. He'll even be better. See, if you come in and listen to the sermon, you get a deal on the boat. James goes, I think I'm going to have to offset the cost of the boat, I guess. I don't know. Why is it that we try to settle for something when God wants us to have something more? We want it our way. How many of you are actually afflicted by something? How many of you have a problem going on in your life that you just can't seem to get rid of? How many of you are troubled and plagued by the same habit that you can't just seem to stop? How many of you are physically suffering because of that? You don't have to raise your hand. You see, when you look at James and you talk about physical healing and you're just saying, I want to be able to get physically well and get better, you are asking for something selfish. Jesus wants to make you better, but here's how he wants to do it. What are the first words as we turn to chapter 14 of John? What are the first words that he basically says? Do not let your hearts be what? Troubled. Ever have a troubled heart? I look at the world today and I have a troubled heart. I'm listening to Christian radio. I don't listen to news anymore because I get too infuriated. But even on Christian radio, they come on with telling the national news of what's going on, and it makes me angry. It troubles me. It bothers me that we are where we are, because people are trying to do their own thing. I'm turning this down because our light doesn't like it. How many here are troubled by the way things have been going? Jesus said, I came here that you might have life and that you might have it what? Abundantly. So let me ask you this question. How many here are living an abundant life? Thank you. We're getting somewhere. I am so blessed in my faith with Jesus Christ that I actually, because of that faith, have the peace that the song was referring to. A peace that passes all understanding. Look at what Jesus is going on to say. I don't want you to have troubled hearts. You already should be, is implied, trusting in God. Now I want you to trust in me. This is not home. This is not where you're going to be living. I'm going to be leaving you, which should not really have been a great news for the disciples. What do you mean you're leaving? We have hinged our lives on you and you're leaving us? Yes, I'm leaving. Where are you going? In the traditional sense in the Hebrew, the Old Testament, what happened is that when someone was betrothed, when they were engaged, you would have the son leaving the bride and then going to build a room onto the father's house. Aren't you glad? We're not there today, huh? Right. The son would typically take over the job of the father once he built the room on. He joined the family business. A baker was a baker. You know, understand that. That's how the names were made. They kept that tradition, and once the room was added on and everything was ready, he would come and get the bride. And at times, they didn't even know when that was going to be taking place, remember? That's the picture of Christ returning for his church. That's our next great event that we're looking forward to in eschatology, if you will. We're looking for Jesus Christ coming to get his bride, that's you and me. And while the world goes, we're going to be at the celebration of the wedding banquet. Isn't that cool? How many are looking for that? I am so looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we live in this world while he is preparing that, and he has a job for you and me. He has something that he wants us to do. Jesus goes on to say, I'm going to come back and get you. And then he says that I'm the way to get there. I'm the only way to get there. When he gets down to verse 12, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. What has Jesus been doing up till now in the point in the story? What has he been doing? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Preaching, teaching, and healing with the point of what? To trying to share good news. Good news. I shared with this on Flat the other night in a Bible study. The greater thing that you can do than what Jesus did, that you can do that he could not do, is while he was alive, he couldn't save one soul. He hadn't died yet. In order for you to receive free salvation and be forgiven for your sin, Christ had to die, be resurrected, and go and stand before the Father to present himself as the atoning sacrifice for the complete removal of our sins. That hadn't taken place yet. And so when you're out there in the world and you see these people that are going crazy and haywire and the world is going nuts, you have an opportunity to do something Jesus didn't do. You can tell people that you have the answer, the way, the truth, the life, and you can give them an example of your life of, guess what? I know this to be absolutely true, 100%. I have peace that passes all understanding. I know if I die today where I am going. And you can present the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people. The problem we have is as we go through our lives once we're born, we have different ways of doing things, as Greg just said. We like to do our own thing. We like to do things our own way. And the longer you go through life, the harder it is to break those habits, isn't it? Can you agree with me? Rob just told me about a story about his boat. I'm going to use it. Rob, you have the same problem, my friend. Yeah. James and Rob have a problem with their boat in that he's selling his boat because he's old. You told me this. He has to steer the boat this way. Now, for a younger guy, that's all right. But when you get old and your shoulder hurts, it's kind of tough. So steering the boat is a little painful. He wants to get a boat that's like this. So it'll be a lot easier to be able to drive the boat to get where he needs to go. Robert, on the other hand, got a brand new boat from the factory because they messed up the first one. And he had to put the motor back onto the new boat. And he told me, you're not going to believe, I put it in the water yesterday and I started driving it and I turned right and the boat turned left. And if you know anything about a boat motor and the steering, it's the opposite. The way the pulleys work, you have to turn them the opposite direction so that when you turn right, actually it pulls the motor the other way around. Okay? We hear those stories from my son, the harbor pilot, all the time. Almost wrecked that one. He decided, I think I can handle it. I can remember in my brain, if I need to turn left, I'll turn to the right. But after he got down a little ways, he said, I had to stop. because I realize that if I get in trouble, my brain is not going to function that way. I'm going to be going like this. Boom. You see that? So these guys have boats. What's B-O-A-T stand for? Break out another thousand? Yeah. With steering problems. I'm going to wait for a delay until they tell me the all is clear, and then we'll go for a boat ride. But that's how we are with our lives. As we go through life, we continue to do things our way. And Jesus comes along and he said, try mine. Just try mine. And so the disciples are sitting and listening and they're hearing about a crucifixion, about a death. And it says over and over and over, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. They turned to one another and they looked perplexed. They were lost. In this story, leading up to even to chapter 14, we hear names of disciples mentioned. Judas is mentioned. Peter is mentioned, with the sad part saying that Peter's going to deny me, and you're going to be three times, you're going to be gone. You're going to deny you even know who I am. Later on in chapter 14, Philip is mentioned and Thomas is mentioned. These are individual people with individual problems in faith. But Jesus turns around and says, if you believe in me, if you have me as your source, you will do the things that I'm doing and even greater than that. So how are you doing in the world with Christ? Are you walking with him? Are you spending time with him? Are you going where he wants you to go? Are you saying what he wants you to say? How's life? That's a tough gig because you see, you and I are all called to the same purpose. Wouldn't it be really, really nice if we were just to be able to have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and then go straight to heaven? But it doesn't work that way. We have trials. We have tribulations. We have pains. We have sorrows. Note in the gospel, it also says this. He ends with this in chapter 14. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. Who's the prince of this world?
Satan.
He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that, read it with me, I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. You see, you and I must do what Jesus commands us to do in order to work the work of the Father, to do the will of the Father. It's not about what I want, it's about what he wants. So when Jesus says, ask anything in my name, what he is literally saying, ask anything according to my will, because my will is not even my will, it's going to be according to my Father's will. You know somebody, I know somebody personally who didn't get a really big, big prayer request answered, and you know him too. His name is your Savior. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knelt? What did he ask? Father, Father, please remove this cup from me. What father would not do that? What father would not gladly come in and rescue and save the day? I would do it even for my grandsons. I would do it for yours. But here is the Son of God, the perfect God of love, who is asking, please, please remove this. But then what did he end up saying? But not my will, but your will be done. So once again, I'm going to ask you, as Thanksgiving comes and you are turning your life over to thank and praise him and to love him and learn how to follow him, are you doing that? Are you spending time to find out just what Jesus wants you to do in your life? I thought the sweetie went in the back. I'm sorry. We'll do that next time if you give us a chance, okay? My wife is back there. She does really good with kids. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so, so much for your will and your life. Every one of us are hurting in some area of our lives. Every one of us falls short. But you, Lord God, are everything to us. Help us to let go in this world that's difficult. Help us to just embrace you and trust you and ask you and show us how to do the very next thing you would have us to do to move on to the next step. We look forward to the day when we will be united with you, Lord, as you come to take us home. But until then, Lord, we want an abundant, peaceful, joyful life as we celebrate your precious Son. We thank you, thank you, thank you for the free gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Are we good, Mike? Give us a little volume, Mike. A little more volume. You know this song?
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
Jesus was a prophet. He was the priest. He's not the King yet, but he will be. And when he comes, everything changes. I'm glad we're going to be there with you. Pray us out of here, Vic.
Father God, in this country, we've got a workforce problem, but in this church, we are your workforce. We will go into the field and we will harvest the first fruit, consisting of the true believers who will join us in testifying to the way and the truth and the life. And by our faith, you will know us as we spend our lives giving thanks to you, Father God, for sending your Son to save us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
I can't believe it. I didn't understand.